Hey everyone, I'm Marissa.
And I'm Haley.
And we're from Authors in Training, and today we're going to be doing writing exercises again. We did it once before, and it is, I think, currently our most popular
episode. Far. And it's a lot of fun, so we were like, hey, let's do it again with different writing exercises.
There are a lot out there.
Yeah. Today we're not going to give you just a list of writing exercises. Today we're just going to do four, right? We did four? Yeah. Four writing exercises, and we're just going to explain it to you, and then we'll read from it.
Yes, just because we don't want to just throw lists at you. We want to show you examples and how they can be done.
And you guys can laugh at us.
Because none of this is edited. None of it. We wrote each section for 10 minutes. And we're going to add a little twist to this one. I'm actually going to read Haley's stuff today.
And I'm going to read Marissa's. And we've never read each other's. This will be a new one for both of us.
So pardon us if we stumble or we just stop to be like, what the F were you writing? It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So the first one we did was describe your surroundings. This one's very simple. It's just you, wherever you are, you just describe it, just for 10 minutes.
Which is going to be interesting, considering we were sitting in the same space. So, same people, same space. Well, not same people, but yeah, sorry.
I was like, what?
We're the same. We are twins. It is what happens. Anyway, the same. It feels like we're the same brain some days.
Yeah.
Not today, though. We were sitting in the same space. It's interesting how two people can tell it differently.
Yeah. So, we're starting off with Marissa's.
Oh, God.
Yay. All right. The living room was the largest space in the
casita.
Casita. I do not know how to spell. I do not know how to
spell. Okay, that's what the structure is actually called, though, so.
I know. I spelled it completely wrong when I wrote this. But it felt cramped with all the pillows thrown onto the floor or other chairs. The footrest was covered with mail and the latest bag of Taco Bell, which held the trash of today's lunch. The table in front of me wasn't a better state with half-filled plastic cups, game controllers, various types of video games, and a coat hanger. On the walls hung pictures that I thought were of Italy, and a painting of dolphins swimming along the California coast against the setting sun. Where was that painting?
It was behind me. It was above the fish tank.
That explains a lot. Oh man, I forgot there's a fish tank. Anyways, that piece of art hung over the fish tank, but I didn't think the fish seemed to mind or even notice. There were bits and pieces that should the class, the space had held before we made ourselves comfortable. What?
I was trying to say that, like, there's, like, parts of the room that showed, like, the class that we tried to put in there.
Oh!
But I think what happened was I had, like, a different idea mid-sentence, and I changed it, and you have that.
I think so, too.
Again, no editing!
Cabinets held glass figures of Japanese figures and eagles. As we sat on the couch, my dog in between us, the silence surrounded us. Despite the cramped space, it was comfy. The air was lukewarm, a sweet relief to the boiling temperature outside, and there were sweets in the fridge. You know, I liked how you kind of got into different senses at the end there. I kind of kept it at just sight.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's one thing I'm proud of, and a lot of people, it's been a long, like, kind of work in progress with me, but I'm very proud that now I typically add more senses. But especially the temperature outside.
I should do more describe your surroundings exercise and then force myself to do, like, different senses, because that's a thing that I need to
I was
practice
forced
with too.
So that it didn't come naturally. Okay, so let's read yours.
Hey.
If any room was a mix of old and new, it was this one. The furniture was elegant, porcelain dolls lined shelves and clocks and pictures, older people lined the wall.
I think it was supposed to be of. I don't know why I put old. It's supposed to be pictures of older people.
Ooh, okay. And pictures of older people lined the walls and tables. The room had an old feel to it, like your grandma would live there. All of it contrasted with the game consoles on the TV stand, which held a flat-screen TV, game and movie cases covered the coffee table, Taco Bell cups and bags lay in the open, and dishes covered the counters in the kitchen. Still, the grandma and the bachelor pad feel came together well. I love that sentence.
Thank you.
It was modern, but still elegant. The furniture was sleek, with soft blues, grays, and golds. The walls were pleasant mint green. The counters and cabinets in the sink were
Kitchen.
The kitchen. I'm sorry, I'm crazy. Cabinets in the kitchen were of a light wood which matched the double doors that had huge windows. The porcelain dolls, while a little disturbing, added a bit of culture to the whole look of the small...
casita. I thought that's how you spelled it.
Casita. That's kind of...
I don't claim to be smart, guys. And you know, Google Docs didn't spell check this.
I think that's a bug. The thing that, like, buzzes. Right. I know, I like yours because, mine feels more textbooky. Like, yes, here's the layout of the room. And then there's yours, who's got more of your style in it, so.
Thank you. I was proud of the still the crab and bachelor pad feel came together well. That was, like, the first thing I thought of, and I just found a way to work in it now.
Yeah, which is actually a better, like, representation of the actual thing, because my grandparents did live in the casita that is in the back of my house.
That's why I said, like, your grandma would live there,
because she did. She did, yeah, but until my grandfather died. And then my brothers live there, and they, you know, bring in whatever new stuff they can. But there's still a lot of old stuff, like, the couch is old.
Yep. So, okay. The next one, we found on Pinterest, actually, Mercy did.
Yes, very proud. And
we don't really have a title for it, we just call it the apology one. So basically, I think, you know, this almost seems more like a writing prompt now that I think about it. Yeah, but whatever, it's still fun.
It's still fun, and I liked the challenge of it. Basically, you have to have a character apologize for something, but they can't use the words apologize, sorry, or regret. And I thought that was very interesting because, of course, in an apology, you would say, I'm sorry, I regret what I did, and I apologize. So,
yeah, that is
in that order.
That is true. So, oh boy, mine's first.
Yes, I'm so excited to read this because I remember you were so mad that you didn't have enough time.
I never have enough time for any of these. We should have made like 15 minutes.
No. I always have just amount of time because I always get bored. Okay, anyway. Okay. When Mary woke up, she still felt like shit.
Sorry for the language, by the way.
It gets worse. The thought of going to school and possibly seeing Matt almost convinced her to say, fuck this, and put the blanket back over her head. Sadly, she had a test in her math class, so she had to go. At school, she kept her head down, rushing down the hallway to get to her first class, but she heard Matt call her name, and she stopped. With a sigh, she turned around and crossed her arms. I have to get to class. Matt stood a distance away from her, sheepishly rubbing the back of his head. Look, I just wanted to say I'm... Don't. There is nothing you can say that can make up for yesterday. But she kissed me first. I don't care. You knew I liked her, yet you were perfectly okay with making out with her in front of me. This just took a turn.
Yeah. Okay. You thought they were together, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I like this. Okay. I didn't know you were there. Oh, that makes it all better. Mary rolled her eyes. It doesn't... It's just... Matt sighed and his shoulders slumped. She came up to me and told me she liked me. I was going to say something, but before I could, she just kissed me. I think she was nervous and just wanted to do it, like ripping off a band-aid. I didn't stop kissing her because I liked her. Mary's eyes widened. You like her? At Matt's nod, she asked, why didn't you tell me? Because I knew you liked her. He looked through his backpack and pulled out a comic book. Here.
It ends there. What was going to happen, the real apology part, was that the comic book was like a rare edition of a comic she's been looking for a long time. And he's like, I was going to give this to you for your birthday, but I thought now would be better because I really didn't mean to hurt you like this. And then she's going to be like, okay, fine. And then they'd reconcile and then she'd be like, so was the kiss good? And then, you know, yeah, walk off. That's how it's gonna end. But I didn't have time.
And there's me who was like, dear God, can I just get this over with? These two characters would never say this. The reason I say that is because the two characters who read about, I put into a short story and I needed characters who, like, one would apologize for something and this is what I got.
Okay.
Oh God.
Hera, Lucy yelled as she ran up to her. Hera froze and slowly turned around. She looked older, angrier. Older? Okay. I'm leaving. No one is changing my mind, she said forcefully, splintering Lucy's heart. Yeah, I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I want to come with you. What? I should have jumped into that vortex with you. They never said I couldn't go with you, but I was scared. Lucy, stop. They would have stopped you. The whole town thought I was going to die and be at peace. They still need you. Lucy held the side of Hera's face. I don't care about them. You needed me, and I wasn't there for you. That's something not easily forgiven. Hera let out a breathy chuckle and leaned her forehead against Lucy's. I don't blame you. I never blamed you. But I swore you wouldn't be alone, and you were. I failed you, and I'm sorry. Stop. Hera covered Lucy's mouth with her hand. Enough with this. You're the only reason I came back, so please stop blaming yourself. I can't bear it. We're going with the lesbian theme today.
Well, yeah. Okay, to be fair, that story was, supposed to be lesbians. To confuse you about, the vortex thing, basically it's that, ye old prophecy, someone has to jump in, they're the chosen one. The reason Hera's upset is obviously she's supposed to jump in and die, she obviously didn't, she learned that anyone could have been pushed in, she was just, a cow raised specially for the slaughter, and Lucy is obviously, her supposed to be lover, but there's issues with that. And yes.
I thought it was cute.
Aw, yay.
It was cute. I liked it. I wanted them to kiss.
Yeah, you always want characters I'm writing in a romance at the same to kiss. It happens a lot, guys. I mean, I'm happy. That means you like the characters. And you're not like, get away. It's like parents kissing.
So the next one we did was, we just call it Items from a Hat. Yeah, I know. Creative. But you just get random items around and you put it in a hat, and everyone who's joining in on the fun just randomly selects an item, and then you have to make a story off of that.
Yes, and I got my brother to do this, so we got some pretty interesting, random.
Yeah, very random.
Very random, especially yours.
Oh, God.
I didn't even know we had that out, so.
Okay, so Marissa's. Here, we're gonna do Marissa's.
And I got a lighter.
I'm excited for this. I wish I got the lighter.
I know.
Okay.
I got weird with it. Go on.
Jack walked down the street kicking a stray pine cone. He didn't know how one ended this far into the city, but it was entertaining. Do you mean ended up this far into the city?
Yeah. Basically, how a pine cone, New York, there's not supposed to be a lot of, pine trees.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, not editing.
His friends were in a bar getting smashed, and he had to drive them home. Lucky him. It had already been an hour, and his phone was low on battery, so watching YouTube was out. Sighing, he kicked the pine cone against the wall, only to see it collide into something else. Curious, he picked it up. A purple lighter with almost all its fluid rested in his hand. Someone must have dropped it when they were plastered and tried to light a cigarette. Smirking to himself, Jack searched the ground for anything flammable. Heh. That's what you would do if you found a lighter, I guess.
I would.
A grimy poster lay on the ground for a rock band that had long since come through town. Using his thumb, he rolled it down the small metal wheels to spark a flame, only the flame wasn't yellow, but brown. Brown? What the heck?
Welcome to fantasy! Anything goes!
Jack let the flame go out and investigated the lighter. It seemed normal enough, but there wasn't a logo or anything. The fluid was clear, so there shouldn't be anything wrong with it. Using the lighter once more, Jack ignited the poster, only to see it didn't burn. He put his hand over the flame and felt heat. So why wasn't it doing anything?
Mm-hmm. It's what's supposed to be there.
Yeah. Jack stomped on the poster, but the fire didn't extinguish, but creeped up his boot and pant leg. Jack screamed, dropped to the floor, and rolled, but nothing worked. Aw, snap.
I don't know what it's supposed to be burning, but I'm just like, I don't know what you would do, but I decided to make him smart and do the whole stop, drop, and roll thing. Yep. That's the last sentence. But he may be dead.
I'm glad I didn't find that lighter. The entire town would be burning to the ground. You know, that probably is what happened. It seems like a fire that doesn't go out.
I don't know what it's supposed to burn, though, because it didn't burn the poster. So It could be burning just, I don't know, it could burn all clothes down and just clothes for some fucking reason.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Then everyone's naked.
Hey! I'm kidding. I don't know what it's supposed to do, guys. You know, maybe tweet us what it should do. It should totally burn some crazy element in the air and everyone dies. I don't know.
Yep. I don't
know. Okay, time to read Haley's.
Oh, boy. So I got a purple Easter egg. And again, I didn't finish, so you don't actually see the specific Easter egg in here because I didn't get to it yet.
What's hilarious is we're recording this in July, friends. Easter has come and gone, and there is barely any Easter stuff in my house, so I don't know why this Easter egg is just randomly with my brother.
I don't know.
I guess it just got stuck there.
That is a random, it's a random thing.
It surprised you. Okay, yep. Here we go. Today was Easter Sunday. Daniel shuffled his way to school. He kept his head down, not wanting to look at the other kids reluctantly making their way to school. Usually he would be at home, sleeping in as Mom made pancakes and Dad worked on the garden. Jenna would be reading a book or maybe go out with her friends, but it was Easter Sunday, so he had to go to school. Oddly enough. Rockefeller Elementary School was usually a happy place. Children would run around and play on the park. Teachers and faculty would be watching on with a smile and chatting amongst themselves. I lived in Vegas, and it was May.
Okay. Just keep reading, you'll get it.
I know. So the sun would be high in the sky, and the air would fill everyone with warmth. Now the clouds cover the sun, the whole school darkened in shade. None of the kids played. They all stood lined up on the grass. The teachers and faculty stood with stoic faces. Some, like Daniel's teacher, Mrs. Jenkins, had tears sliding down their face. As the bell rang, no one headed toward the building like they usually would. The faculty herded the kids until they all stood in straight lines by class. Daniel stood behind Emma T., who was sobbing uncontrollably. Once the teachers counted their class and made sure everyone was counted for, Principal Rayner walked to the middle of the field with a megaphone. "Good morning, students," he said with fake cheer. "Today is Easter Sunday. As you all know, today is the day we pay for our sins by sacrificing 5 families to the Easter Bunny, and we decide this by holding an Easter egg hunt."
That's why I love not.
In my head, all I think is, like, a.k.a. the Hunger Games gone religious.
Kind of. The original idea is that they made the youngest child of every family have to go to their school and do an Easter egg hunt. And on the inside, there's either chocolate or there's there's some kind of object that basically signifies that you're one of the family members that is going to be sacrificed. And basically, it's kind of like a game where if that happens, everyone's like, oh, yay, relieved, have fun, Easter Sunday. But if your family is chosen, then you're going to have to survive the night. If you survive, yay, good for you. But if you don't, well, the Easter Bunny's going to kill you and probably eat you. And so, obviously, since Daniel's the main character, he was going to get chosen. And it's going to be, no! Okay. I don't know what else to do with a purple Easter egg.
I just love what you did. I think that's hilarious. I kind of went the standard route. You're going to light it or you're going to light stuff on fire because I'm a pyro. But you're like, Easter egg, so let's kill people. Sacrifice them to a demonic thing called the Easter Bunny. Okay, moving on. Our next thing is where, it's the final one as well, where you have several categories. We had a place, conflict, and color.
But you can do any category, any amount of categories. You could be like a character, time.
An odd event, object.
Yeah, you can do like even something completely random, like a type of shoe or something, you know, whatever.
But it just has to be incorporated into the story. Yeah. So basically what you do is everyone fills out a number of suggestions. We each fill out 3. And then you put them in a hat. We had a bag that we put them in. And then you select whatever one you got. And we had some very interesting suggestions for each other.
Yeah.
So, yes. Who goes first?
Me. Well, technically my story, you read it.
Yes. Okay.
Haley's story goes first.
Oh, yay! I'm so happy you got my suggestion for the place.
Yeah, so, okay. The place is Taco Bell. The conflict is, you have to leave, but the door is locked and it is the only way out. And the color is rubicund, which is basically a brown, for those who don't know.
Yes.
Or is it rubicund?
I think it's rubicund.
I don't know. It's spelled R-U-B-I-C-U-N-D. Tell me how to spell it on Twitter or something.
I don't know. Pronounce it.
I know how to spell it. God dang. I'm tired.
You're a mess today. I'm actually on my game. It's weird. I stole all your energy. Okay, anyway. Here we go. Justin slammed the door, leaned on it, and finally let out the breath he was holding. That was awkward. Never again will he be the third wheel to his friend's date. He could still hear the muffled yelling through the door. His friend Brady asked him if he would go with him to Taco Bell so he could hang out with his girlfriend Monica. Brady's parents didn't like Monica and refused to let him date her, so he's been taking Justin along on their dates as an excuse to go out and alibi. Okay, read that right. The date started off all right, until Brady brought up how he was moving out of state for college. Monica, who wanted them to go to the same school, obviously didn't like that, and a fight sparked that got worse and worse. It was when they started shouting that Justin excused himself to go to the bathroom, not that they heard or cared. So that was how Justin ended up in the bathroom, playing a game on his phone as he waited for them to calm down. He waited a few minutes after the yelling disappeared before deciding to go back out there. He grabbed and turned the doorknob and pulled. Nothing. He tried pushing. Still nothing. He shoved at the door, but it wouldn't budge. The door was locked, and he couldn't do anything to unlock it. He banged on the door. Hey, anyone out there? Or, not bad. Anyone out? Wait. Anyone out? Hear me?
I was two different sentences that kind of just combined it. I was like, anyone out there? Or
can anyone hear me?
And okay. He kind of...
Anyone out hear me? I was wondering, like, my brain doesn't autocorrect this badly before. Okay. He continued to yell, but no one came. He grabbed his phone and tried to call Brady, but it went straight to voicemail. He called Monica. She picked up. Oh, Monica, thank God. Listen, I need. Don't bother, Justin. Tell Brady I'm serious. I'm not getting back with him. What? Monica. Bye. She hung up. What a... swine. Don't want to swear any more than we already have on this.
Yep, I forgot to add the color. What I was going to do, okay, I had a completely different idea for this, was that he was having a diarrhea.
Oh, God.
Which is where the brown was going to come in, but I was like, nah, I don't feel like that. I was like, oh, there's just, the bathroom's going to be brown, sure, but I kind of forgot to add that, so I kind of failed my mission.
Oh, see, I went through in mine and just, like, as quick as possible, just get everything in one paragraph, and then just so I don't have to worry about it. Yes.
So, Marissa, why don't you tell us what was in yours?
Okay,
you
got? So I did get one of my own places, which is UNLV Student Union. It's a university.
I wish she stuck with mine. Mine was hell.
Hey.
That's the other option
don't
that she
to
had.
Deal with the conflict that I
yeah,
got.
Yeah, we both picked, like, two of each category, and then we got to pick because we felt we pitied ourselves.
And each other.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you got... the weirdest thing ever because there are mines. But anyway, the conflict is you have a list and you will kill them all. And I had an issue with doing that in hell because in my mind I'm like, but their souls, they're already dead. I could figure out something.
Demon hunting.
Exactly. But I felt that putting it in the student union would be a lot more fun because if you've been to a student union, it's like the most friendly place ever. At least mine is. And the color I got was blood red.
I wanted that one. That was my color that I suggested.
You should have just wrote it down like three times.
I could have. I wouldn't have known.
Until the end of it.
Man.
Give us a second while Haley puts her brain back together. It's currently blown.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's get started reading yours. This is gonna be good. I sat on a lush couch, watching people mill about or rush to food options UNLV offered in its student union. Almost everyone came through here meaning I would have a better chance of finding my targets. I had disposed a few this morning at Beam Hall, and the people I passed took the blood splatter as a result of the color run that occurred around the same time. Color run, okay.
They have a color run sometimes, I think. But yeah, I don't know. It was a weird excuse, but I was like, screw it, my brain.
Stretching, I read over my list again. I had three targets left, and none would be a challenge, but it brought in money. It was interesting to see how far people were willing to go and pay for someone to disappear. Most of the time, it was permanent, but there had a few fun times... where I held someone for a week or so. As the memories of them running filled my mind, the corners of my mouth curved upward. Sadly, no one wanted that. It was easier to have people never return and have my hands be stained blood red. I didn't mind, though.
Jesus Christ.
It was great practice and wonderful fun. Molly liked the benefits, too, with all the fresh meat. Ew. Her refrigerator must be overflowing by now. Ew. I never understood her taste, but maybe I should take up her offer of dinner. Is her last name Lecter?
What's funny up is Molly is actually,
Is that Will Graham's
wife?
Nice.
I threw that in there for multiple things, but yeah, I never actually say she's a cannibal. I kind of just hint at it.
It could be fun. A yelp grabbed my attention. A young female, most likely a freshman, had tripped over someone's backpack. I chuckled softly and pretended to be interested in my list. With a bright red face, she kept walking, but glanced at me in venom. She must have heard me.
Yeah, I didn't know where it was going, so I just had to put literally anything.
Wait, you didn't... But the person didn't say anything.
No, because they were laughing. They chuckled.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. Yes. So that's why she was, like, glaring at them, because it's like, it wasn't funny, asshole. So.
That's interesting as an assassin. I thought you were going to go with a revenge route.
No,
that's kind of what I was implying. But I like this.
I wanted this chill person who was just chill in the SU, because it's such a chill place. I'm like, you know, this isn't a high place. But this person just walking around the university, killing people. But if you know UNLV, Beam Hall is right across from the SU.
Oh.
So he literally walked, this person walked over, killed some people, had a bloodstained shirt, and just came back and was like, sup? And people were like, oh yeah, color run, because it's like red paint. And it's like,
sure. Yeah.
It's now brown. But yeah, no. And they're just like, yeah, I really like it when I get to hold hostages for a while. And like when they run, ugh. But you know, and there's Molly, my cannibal friend. They're not a cannibal, obviously. But I liked the idea that they were like, maybe like if I try once, it might be like worth it.
So which exercise was your favorite, Marissa? Like which one did you like to do the most?
I liked to do, I think the one where, what was it? We had to, like, just pick random items out of a hat.
You know, I think that one, as much as I hated it at the same time, I also liked that one.
What I like about it is, because I've done it twice. I did it with you, and I did it with a creative writing class where I got a CD for you. It's like a, it's a workout CD.
Yeah.
And that's all I had. And it really, I think, pushes your ability to create a story. Because sometimes you do get something amazing, like a jade toad statue thing. And you're like, oh, I can really do fantasy with this because it's a statue or something, and it's obviously jade. Or you get a feather, and it's or an Easter egg, and it's like, what do I do with this? And it just kind of flexes your creativity muscle, which I don't think a lot of writers do nowadays.
So, what about you guys? Have you guys tried any of these writing exercises? If so, how'd that go? And you should probably share it with us. I would love to read your guys's, even especially if you like try it after this episode and like tell us what your favorites were.
Yes, or who knows? Maybe you'll go off of ours. I don't know. We did end it in some interesting places. Yeah. If you're like, I really latched on to the Easter egg story. I'm gonna talk about the Easter bunny. Do something with that. Please do tell us and either send us a link or something. I would love to read it.
I would love to read that too. So so you can check us out on Twitter at Authors Training and at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/authorstraining. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye!